Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This hour of Gresh and Keefe is brought to you by Brigham Gill Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
This is a WEEI special broadcast. It's the 19th annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, presented by Arbella Insurance. Here for the Jimmy Fund, here for good. CCL, Cape Cod Lumber, a name you can build on. House Fuel Products, tested, trusted, guaranteed. Your New England Volkswagen dealers. Apollo Safety, the leaders in safety technology. FindMassMoney.com. Sweepin' Man, the chimney experts. And Deep River Snacks. Because we give a chip. The 19th annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. To make a gift, please call 877-738-1234. Now live from Fenway Park, Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
And at that number, we are looking for President's Circle members. A gift of $1,500 or more gets you into the Dana-Farber President's Circle. And we are well over $2 million. And
2.1 in climbing.
2.1 in climbing. Yep. And apparently the upper Midwest has been a little slow to jump.
What's going on there?
I don't know.
And we have the 50 states covered. And it looks like Big Ten country and Big Sky country.
That's right, Big Sky
country. Not helping us out.
Yeah, I went to Boise, Idaho to play a game once on that blue turf.
Oh, the old Smurf turf.
Oh,
playing the old Smurf turf.
Oh, it was exactly what.
Nice.
And they tell you like, oh, when you go out for warm ups, a bird might die. Well, oh yeah, bird.
Why is that? Why do they die in the?
Because it's blue and they think it's a lake. They scraped out. They scraped up something while we were stretching. So
they go down like they're like, oh, I'm going to land here, get a little maybe a fish.
And you know what? So we went out there. It was 1993. So it was I redshirted the year before.
But they were still 1AA then.
Yeah, they were transitioning. Yeah, yeah. I went against Kimo von Olhoffen.
Ooh,
didn't go well.
Would not
he
imagine.
Had me on the helmet, yeah. Just like this dude, hey. Uru Hameter from
penalty.
Dell State.
Yeah.
He played for the Eagles for about 5 minutes, steamrolled me as a sophomore. It was awful. But we're stretching to Boise State, and all of a sudden you hear this, and you hear,
nothing.
And they come out with a shovel and scoop it up, and you keep stretching.
You think PETA would be all over those guys.
You would think so.
You
got to
change the turf.
But
you got to go
turf.
Green.
It's like the red turf at Central Arkansas and places that.
Yeah, they got the red turf.
Eastern Washington.
I was going to say Eastern Washington.
Washington is not
Rodney
donated.
Rodney Stuckey went, I believe.
That's right. Ooh, very good. Michael Roos Stadium, I think.
Was it?
Yeah, I think Roos was the big guy who went to school out there, I'm pretty sure.
One of the best left tackles for a long time.
He really was fantastic. And Sony Michel is now a member of the Los Angeles Rams. We will get to that as well. David Ortiz joins us on the phone at the bottom of the hour. And, we are beyond excited to say the least, to be able to talk to Big Poppy at 11:30 and Dustin Pedroia at 12:30. If you'd like to make a $25 donation, text KCANCER to 20222. And here with Gresh and Keefe is Rachel Slater. She's 22. She's from Hudson, Ohio. And I can't pronounce the technical name of your brain tumor that you were diagnosed with. Can you help me out a little bit as to exactly what it is, Rachel?
Yeah, so it's called an oligodendroglioma.
Come on, Gresh, try it. Try it, Gresh.
Oligodendroglioma?
Glioma.
No. Glioma.
Yep, you got it.
They need to change the I to an E, and then I'd be okay.
Yeah,
but what does all that mean?
So it's, like you said, just a type of brain tumor. Fortunately, it's relatively slow growing, but it has a really high recurrence rate. So I got diagnosed when I was 17. It's already come back once and is likely to come back again. So I have MRIs every few months to check and make sure that and be ready for when it comes back.
And how you found out you had it is a wild, scary story.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, it's extremely dramatic. So essentially what happened is I was driving home from school. And
you were 17, right?
I was 17, yeah. Yep. It was my last semester of high school. I was, like, ready to graduate. And, yeah, I was driving home from school in the winter. And I had a seizure while I was driving. Went off the road, went through a bunch of trees, rolled to a stop, like, right before a cliff. And fortunately walked away from the accident. You know, woke up in the ambulance, went to the hospital, and that's how they found the mass in my brain. So.
Wow. And yeah. Then what went through your brain? I mean, what went through your mind, excuse me, in terms of, oh, my God, you had this happen to you, and then you find out that something is really wrong.
Right. Yeah. So when I initially have the seizure, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to die. This is it. And I was just, you know how sometimes people, like, when they are dying, they, like, have all their memories and stuff flash through life.
It's the life. Yeah. Your whole life flashes before your eyes.
Right. I didn't get any of that. I was just angry. I was so angry because I was like, oh, I have all these goals and these ambitions and things I want to accomplish, and I wasn't going to get to do any of that. And so anyways, but then I wake up in the ambulance, and I kind of had a feeling that there was something wrong when we went to the hospital. So when they told me there was a mass in my brain, I wasn't that surprised, because I had a feeling that something had, like, the seizure didn't just happen for no reason. So it was scary, obviously, but I was kind of just like, okay, we just have to move forward. We just have to deal with this. There's not really any other option. You just have to keep going.
And then you ended up going to Harvard.
Yes.
And then junior year, it
happens again.
And then, so at that point, what are you thinking?
At that point, I was just not wanting my life to be interrupted. And I wanted to continue going to school. I wanted to continue my life as I had planned. And I didn't want to let my cancer just completely upend my life again. So I decided to stay in school. I only took 3 classes, but I stayed.
But they're Harvard classes, yeah. So they're really like, it's like taking 10 classes.
Well, I was just going to say.
No, they're not that bad. And so, yeah, I had surgery over Thanksgiving break and then finished my papers over winter break. And, yeah.
Now, you joined the Adolescent and Young Adult Clinic. It's AYA.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that clinic and how it impacted you.
Yeah, so I was the inaugural patient at the AYA clinic.
Oh, really?
Yep,
huh?
Yeah, it was very exciting.
Wow, so you were historic in the world of the AYA.
You're going to get your name in there.
Yeah, so it has been a really great experience for me, especially because I was really worried about navigating that transition from pediatrics to adult care. I think that it's really difficult. And having both, so I have 2 doctors, Dr. Reardon and Dr. Yao, and one is the adult side and one is the pediatric side. And so because of that, I have access to clinical trials on either side. I have more options available to me in terms of care. If my tumor does come back for a third time, which it is likely, I fortunately will be able to go on a clinical trial. So it's possible that I may be able to skip chemo and radiation at all, which would be amazing.
And so you're going into your last year at Harvard, is that true?
Yeah, this is my last semester.
Last semester,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so
what are you looking to do after?
Afterwards, so I am minoring in global health and health policy. So I'm looking to go into health advocacy, public health, anything related to that, advocating for people like me. Yeah, anything along those lines is what I'm interested in.
Was that
in
a
doing.
Field you were interested in before all of this happened, or did it all kind of materialize as you were going through treatment?
It definitely materialized as I was going through treatment, especially when I saw people who, you know, I'm very fortunate to have really good health care, but when I saw people along my journey that didn't have good health care and seeing the effect that it had on them, that really made me want to advocate on their behalf and made me want to go into this field. Yeah.
And last thing, we've asked a lot of the patients about this, but just your relationship with the doctors. You mentioned 2 mm-hmm. of the doctors that you're, but also the nurses as well that you've come across along
yeah.
the way.
Yeah, my doctors have been amazing. All of the nurses I've ever interacted with have been so nice. Like, I've been incredibly fortunate to just have an incredible experience. And I really do credit Dana-Farber and also Boston Children's, which is where I've had surgeries done, with me even being able to go to Harvard and like being able to do the things that I've been able to do. And so I'm incredibly grateful for even being able to be at this place.
Do people ask you to, like I did, to say, I can't even do it.
You can't do it.
I can't even do it. It's such a word jumble.
I usually just say brain tumor, and that kind of covers it.
Keep it simple, right.
It's simple. Mm-hmm.
Because then they're like, oh, of course you're at Harvard, you and your multisyllabic words and all this stuff.
No.
Yeah. I can understand it. Well, Rachel, good luck with everything and your studies as well.
Thank you very much
for sharing your story today.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you so much.
We appreciate it. And, of course, we are looking for President's Circle members today. $1,500 or more on the donation gets you into the President's Circle. You can call 877-738-1234. Go online, jimmyfund.org. And we got some more folks that are going to be sitting down with us. We've got David Ortiz coming up at the bottom of the hour. Dustin Pedroia will join us at the bottom of next hour as well. And those are two guys who have been heavily involved with the Jimmy Fund, not only the Jimmy Fund radio telethon, but also going over, making visits, having an impact with the Jimmy Fund. And joining us now from Reading is Sarah Reynolds and Dr. Matthew Yergelin, director of the Lynch Syndrome Center at Dana-Farber. First of all, good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
And
good morning.
Sarah, kind of take us back to the beginning. I always am fascinated to ask people, take me back to the beginning when this whole journey started. How did you find out there was an issue?
So I found out there was an issue when my mom was diagnosed with cancer for the second time within a short amount of years. So she was encouraged to go for genetic testing for Lynch syndrome, and she was diagnosed with it. So then I, you know, became concerned about my own possibility of having that. So I started the process of genetic testing and getting started. And, you know, unfortunately, for a number of reasons, my ability to get tested was a little delayed. So the genetic testing woman at Leahy suggested that I go for a colonoscopy to kind of ease my mind and, you know, see, make sure there was nothing going on there as far as potential cancer. So I did go in for a colonoscopy, and there was something there. They biopsied it, and I did have colon cancer. So I started my journey with Dana-Farber and with Dr. Yergelin, and, you know, had surgery, and, you know, I'm here now. It's been a process, but that's how it all began.
And, doctor, how common is that when you have a patient who sounds like no symptoms, right? It was just more it ran in the family, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, colon cancer is certainly one that's notorious for flying under the radar screen before it causes symptoms. Screening colonoscopies can be incredibly effective at finding things early, sometimes finding things before they even develop into a cancer, or in cases like Sarah's, finding the cancer when it's fortunately very early, hopefully very curable, and can be dealt with hopefully surgery alone.
Doctor, can you shed some light on what is Lynch syndrome?
So Lynch syndrome is a form of inherited cancer risk. It's actually quite common, although we haven't yet done as good of a job as we'd like getting the recognition, the name recognition out there. We think it might be present in about 1 in 300 people in the United States, so there's more than a million people in the U.S. walking around with this. It predisposes to colorectal cancer, uterine cancer, ovarian cancer, and a long list of other cancers, all of which are quite preventable if you know that the risks are there. They often manifest at young ages, and so if we can use genetic testing to figure out who has Lynch syndrome, we can put together a comprehensive screening prevention plan, really to either find cancers early or hopefully stop them before they start in people who have this.
And Sarah, you have two young kids. How did those conversations go, and what was their reaction?
We haven't really, like, ventured into that a whole lot yet because they're still so young. My daughter is 9 and my son is 6, so they know a little bit. I've had some, you know, minor complications along the way. So I've been in the hospital where they remember, and they kind of know something's going on. But the whole genetic piece is a little bit much for a 9-year-old. So we haven't delved into a whole lot with them. But they just know that, you know, I go for a lot of checkups, that I'm really into being healthy, you know. for the most part, and that I just go to the doctor and take care of myself, and that it's very important to me.
Have they been asking a lot of questions? Like, have you had the, oh, I don't really know how to answer this, and maybe you talk to a nurse or a doctor to be able to, you know, because there's the emotions that you go through, and then there's the natural curiosity of kids who, you know, they're going to ask whatever they're going to ask because, well, they're kids.
I know. Yeah, there's definitely been some times, and Dr. Yerkland, I'm sure, would always be here to help me answer any questions that I might need help with them. But yeah, absolutely, there's been a few times that they've stumped me and I've had to come up with some creative answers on the fly. But yeah.
And Doctor, what are some of the challenges over the last year, not just the lack of screenings or just not as many as you would like, but also just sort of having to separate families at times and keep people apart?
Sure. So, I mean, when we're treating somebody with cancer, I mean, it's cliched, but it really does affect the whole family. People need their support, people there with them. You know, for portions of time during the pandemic, we were really limited in our ability to have people in clinic as people were going through chemotherapy or through some really intense discussions sometimes. Fortunately, we're now able to bring some more people into the clinic, which is really quite key for these people as they're going through their journey.
And I know that would it be a genetic marker it would be in terms of some people? Because I know there are those who may not exactly know their parents' family history. How important is it to understand it going back a generation to know what level of risk you're at?
Right. So colorectal cancer and other cancers often do cluster in families. And, you know, one thing I've learned working in genetics is that families are complicated and people don't always communicate effectively. But it's really important that people talk about these issues within their family. Even if it's not a specific genetic diagnosis like Lynch syndrome, it's still important for people who have strong family histories to get screened early, get screened appropriately and often. There's just so much we can do in the name of prevention with that.
Well, thank you for coming and educating us, Doctor, and Sarah, for sharing your story with us today. We appreciate it, and good luck with your treatment and dealing with those little ones.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Sarah's story, that's going to get the phone ringing, 877-738-1234. And while we have a moment to breathe here for a second, Keith, I knew you could spin around. What was the number at right now?
About $2,104,530.
Wow. And I can see some of the states: Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Wyoming is not on the board. How can Texas not be on the board right now?
Oh, jeez.
The Dakotas, I can understand, because no one lives there other than Brock Lesnar.
There. Yeah.
But Texas, it's full of people, and we know that some states
that'll fill up by the end of the day.
It absolutely
will.
Part
of it is, you know, it's the mountain time, it's Pacific time. People, they'll wake up. They'll donate in there.
Sure. There were those watching the Red Sox game last night who got wrapped up in that. And while we have a moment, Red Sox got an 11-9 win. And
11-9, just like they drew it up.
Well, of course.
9-3?
Well, the over-under was 16 last night.
It flew over. And Matt Barnes there's a major problem.
Yes.
This isn't it's a hiccup, or, you know, all closers blow saves. All closers have a bad, even week, I would say. But all-star closers don't have a month like Matt Barnes is having where it's not a big deal. Like, and this is now, if they do make the playoffs, two games clear of Oakland, by the way, because despite trying to blow the game, they did win last night. Oakland lost. So two games clear on the A's for the second wild card spot. But if you get into a playoff game, whether it be the one game play-in or you somehow make the division series, you have a lead. Ninth inning. You going to Matt Barnes?
You almost have to, unless Hansel Robles continues to do what he did.
Against a good lineup, I don't trust him.
I'm with you on that. And look, this Barnes situation is as serious as it gets for this baseball team. They've extended him since COVID and really since the break.
Right.
And I think the ERA is like 7.7 or something like that. And really telling last night, and I'm glad that Dave O'Brien pointed out on the broadcast, when they're meeting at the mound. So Barnes starts to have problems. Here comes Cora out the first time. And he didn't give him like a pat on the bum or the normal pat. It was like he was trying to dislocate his left shoulder the way he whacked.
This will work.
I mean, really,
this will straighten him out, because usually you don't get the manager out there either, right? And
that's,
I guess,
right.
That's sort of a starting pitcher thing, a little bit different. But he goes out there and does not yank him, and then he comes back out and does it. And I think Cora actually did it the right way. He goes right back to him after blowing it the day before. Goes right back to him. He's out there, gives up a yaya ding dong.
Love it.
And then you're like, all right, what's he going to do? And then you can't just take him out right then. And thank God they got the insurance runs because of Kike Hernandez. Without that, we're going to X. They might still be playing.
It would have been bad,
So he allows him a little bit more. He's like, you know what, I still have faith in you. And the next thing you know, he can't find the plate. He's walking guys. And Cora's like, all right, I have faith in you. That's why you're out there. That's why I stuck with you. But we also need to win the game. So it's not the Barnes or bust. It was, all right, it's Barnes, but get Robles up. Have him come in there. Have him only throw 99. And then, because he starts mixing in some of the other stuff. And then he always has a problem. He can't find the plate sometimes.
Right.
But last night he was throwing strikes, which is good to see. Some tough at-bats by the Twins, and Robles hung with it. And, yeah, not how you drew it up. In fact, Barnes never should have been in the game to begin with. They're up 9-3 against a horrible Twins
team.
When
Renfro hits two bombs and drives in five on a night
year.
Like that, well, you know, they was just sitting on him, and he and Kike were sitting on those hanging breaking balls.
Listen, you put it there.
Jerk those things down the left field line.
But, yeah, no, Barnes
but
is
to
a
your
major
point,
problem right now.
I mean, 9-3, that game should not be in doubt by the end.
No, and Ottavino, he looked good there. I wonder if you're going to maybe chance to have him pitch some ninth inning games.
Well,
like you can't just next save situation. Not tonight because he's pitched so often. But say tomorrow there's a save situation. You want a Barnes?
Yeah, it's iffy, but you almost have to from the standpoint of if you're Alex Cora and you make it a point to walk to the mound, give the pep talk, and the bang, 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 separating shoulder backslap, right? You can't go to him in that spot and say, just be free and throw the ball. Don't worry about
it. Have fun out there.
You can't build build the confidence, and then in the next opportunity you have to go to the guy, not go to him. Like tonight, he pitched last night. Okay, you can work around that. But if we're a Thursday night and there's a save situation, I almost think you have to go back to Barnes because if you're the manager, you can't say one thing and then do another.
No, but what is – he's had like three or four blown saves just in the month alone. Now, last night is not one, but it was a mess. It was falling apart. He was angling towards it. The ERA just for the month of August is through the roof. The guy is just having an absolute problem. Keeping the ball in the ballpark, walking guys. Like two things as a closer you can't do. Walk guys, allow home runs.
That's right.
And he's doing both.
That is exactly
outing.
Right.
So that is wildly frustrating because, you know, the bats are starting to wake up a little bit. And they need that pitching. They need the back. The bullpen has been so good for most of the year and then just falling apart at the wrong time.
And if we may, an utter embarrassment in Major League Baseball is going on right now where the Baltimore Orioles have lost 19 in a row. What a joke this is.
Six more games with the Sox.
Well, that's the thing.
Wins.
Well, now
yeah,
it's
no, they're embarrassed. I mean, they should be relegated, but unfortunately that's not in the
down to
AAA.
We'll bring up
send them down
to
AAA.
Bring up Sacramento. Hell, bring up. Well, you can't bring up Worcester. It's too close.
Bring up the Woo Sox.
I was just gonna say. You know, what would be a Charlotte? Maybe something
Charlotte,
like that.
You
there you
could,
go. Bump Baltimore.
Rochester.
Bring in Charlotte.
Like Syracuse.
Oh, Rochester. The worst. I spent a month there one night.
Yeah,
oh
well.
But the Orioles are now a whopping 38-86.
I mean, come on.
As you mentioned, you know, obviously they'll break their streak. They've lost 19 in a row, but that's now those six games, minimum 5-1.
Oh no, yeah, 5-1 minimum, and then because I think the Yankees also have them six more times.
I do believe so.
So you got now again the Yankees. Is anybody even looking at the Yankees anymore? Are you watching the Yankees? Or are you just like me watching the Oakland A's?
However, they're the polar opposite of Baltimore. Yeah. They have won 11 in a row and are hot as a pistol right now.
Yeah, 11 in a row.
And look, Oakland is starting to do the September swoon.
Yeah.
So Oakland is two back of the Red Sox for the second wild card spot.
And their
spot.
Schedule is tougher. If you go through it, it's a lot tougher than the Red Sox. So
we're looking at Red Sox Yankees one game play in. Here we go. Where are we going? Where are we posting up down
Cole,
there in New York to do the show?
Cole Sale?
Ooh.
Was that what you do?
I would think so. Because it'll be sewn up. Or I think with the way the A's are playing, it should be sewn up early enough that you can put those guys out there.
It's not Tanner Houck.
No. Do you go Evaldi, Pivetta, maybe?
It's not.
Isn't it between Sale and Evaldi as to who would start that one game play in?
Yeah.
Timing and where they're pitching.
So let's see how Sale does his next few starts. Yeah. And then people can maybe get excited about that, and then maybe that's who it would be. If not, Evaldi's your next choice. You don't want any of the other guys out there.
No. And
I mean, a one-game play-in, though, you throw everybody.
Well,
everybody's available.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Cole Sale would be good, and that would be good for the old rivalry, too.
It actually
you know,
would
I know
be
you don't
good
like the one
the
game
rivalry.
Playing, but that'd be pretty sweet.
Well,
that'd be
that'd be some juice, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
When it's Houston Tampa one game playing, it's like
it's like Oakland Minnesota.
Oakland Minnesota, like, that's right.
My face.
And I give Minnesota credit last night. Scrappy.
They are scrappy.
They're scrappy. Do
Rocco Baldelli.
He was.
He's got him.
Boy, he's got. He's
well,
got
running into outs though.
Yeah. Nice. He's gone full-blown Scheim under that hat Rocco has.
Is that what,
it's a
hat sport, thankfully.
Grow the beard,
yeah,
and you wear the hat, and you're okay.
That's why I think Scrim would be a baseball manager before he'd be a football coach.
Well, he
actually,
is.
Football coach, you can go hat. Basketball coach, you can't.
He is Scheim Bloom.
He is Scheim Bloom.
Speaking of that, here's Scheim now, ready.
OMF, weekdays 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. This September, make losing weight part of your new routine and start letting go of your weight the very first week. 6 locations and online at awaken180weightloss.com. The Red Sox beat the Twins last night 11-9. Hunter Renfro went yard twice. The two teams go again tonight. First pitch 7:10, pregame 6:10. You can catch all the action right here on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. The Patriots have made a trade. They're sending running back Sony Michel to the L.A. Rams for a 5th and 6th round pick that could eventually become a 4th round pick if they get a compensatory pick for a guy they let go. And they also start joint practices with the New York Giants and old friend Joe Judge today. This is the 19th annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. Trending now, also brought to you by Empire Loan.
Ortiz joins us next.
Fighting for those that inspire. Dial 877-738-1234 to make a gift. Back to Gresh and Keefe. It's the 19th annual WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
Red Sox trailing 5-1, and Poppy gets in. And the big right-hander, Benoit, delivers. Swinging a high deep drive into right field. That one scalded to right. Hunter on the move. Racing back. It's over his head. It's gone. It's into the bullpen. This game is tied. This game is tied. David Ortiz. David Ortiz!
We know that he is the legend, Big Poppy, David Ortiz. He also has a podcast now, Call Me Poppy, with old Guns Carrabas.
That's right.
No calves, all biceps, that Jared Carrabas. That's right.
Glamour muscles.
He's like Tom Brady. And joining us now is Red. He's already laughing. Yeah, this is great. The Red Sox legend, David Ortiz. Big Poppy, how are you? Welcome to Gresh and Keefe.
I'm doing good.
We're great, Poppy. And look, we know your legendary status here in New England, but you were also a legend with the folks at Dana-Farber and the Jimmy Fund and raising money for years and years and all of the great things that you have been a part of. But I want to take you back to the beginning, Poppy. When was, you know, when you first heard and you first started to see that the Red Sox were involved with the Jimmy Fund and the depth in which they were involved, do you remember back in the beginning the kind of impact that it had on you in your early years here in Boston? I think we're going to have to get to...
Yeah, we have to reconnect with these. We'll try to call back.
We'll try to get David...
I'm sorry. We're having a hard time.
Unfortunately, David, we can't hear you, so we're going to get him reloaded. I think he had David Ortiz's phone, not David Ortiz.
He might have.
So we'll try to get Poppy into a better spot so that we can hear him. But, you know, when you...
Well, his first year was 2003. Ortiz's
That's right.
first
yep.
year with the Red Sox was 03.
That's
and
right.
you think about the Jimmy Fund. This WEEI, Ness and Jimmy Fund Telethon, goes back to 02.
That's right.
So really, I mean,
Very beginning.
From this whole time, He has been a part of it, and you can just see the delight that so many of the players have, and whether it's the spring training trips that they used to be able to do, hopefully they get those going again, and just the visits over there, and the way the kids light up when they see the players, and then really vice versa. You know, the smile that Ortiz puts on a kid's face is the same going back the other way.
Exactly, and that's the thing about David Ortiz, is that the personality jumps off the page, yeah. But you know, there are some people, when they walk into the room, you know that not only they're somebody, but they're also going to make people happy. And as you mentioned it, like, when you're around David Ortiz, he makes people smile. Hell, we're busting Carrabba's chops, and he's in there laughing already because it's just a part of who he is. And, you know, for kids that are going through the situation that they're going through at Dana-Farber, and then a legend walks in, and a guy who, by the way, if I may steal the line, hitting ya-ya ding-dongs pretty much every night and in big spots.
All the time.
And then the kids see him walk in the room, it's like, oh, my God, I just saw you beat the Yankees last night.
I still think he's the most clutch athlete I can recall. I know many will say Tom Brady, and I'm not going to argue that. But with Ortiz, it almost became comical that every time he came up late in a big spot, he would get a hit. It was like almost like anticipated. You're like, oh, like the cut we played coming back. Oh, they need a grand slam. It's like, yeah, but Ortiz is up, so they'll probably get a grand slam.
That's right.
Like, it's just you became to expect it, where I don't know if any other baseball players have that.
No, and it's interesting, too, to me anyway, because we used to hear all the time that, you know, don't turn away. Oh, Pedro's pitching tonight. You better watch and you
better
listen.
Manny, Ortiz.
That's
were the
right.
Three guys. So one every fifth day for Pedro. But then when you had two guys in the lineup that were must-see, you can't go get a snack. You can't go get a drink, whether you're at home or whether you're sitting in the stands here at Fenway. You couldn't do it.
All right, so we got David Ortiz back on the line. And Poppy, hopefully we'll be able to hear you. But, you know, and Rich had just mentioned that the WEEI Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon that is now morphed into being on TV as well. It started the year before you got here. Can you just, Poppy, sort of walk us through kind of your experiences with Dana-Farber and the Jimmy Fund?
Well, the reality is that the Red Sox doing an amazing job trying to help out the community better than anybody I have seen. And the way they do it, it's so unbelievable that as a player, as employees, you get so involved in it to the point that you put them on your schedule basically every year, you know, whatever is going down and the activities and all the stuff related to a raise fund to continue helping the Jimmy Fund Foundation. I mean, it's great, man. I have so many memories and I'm so well connected to everything that the Red Sox do, even now that I'm not a player anymore. I mean, they always, whenever the time shows up, they always bring that to the table. And to me, the way they did it, it was just not only for the players to get familiar with, it's for the player to make it part of their life forever. Basically, you know, I'm a guy that I don't live in Boston anymore, but I go to Boston 20 times a year. So there's not that one moment that you don't think about the Jimmy Fund while you are there.
And how important was it to you, David, and your teammates, you know, as professional athletes, to give back and to spend so much time with these kids, whether it was visiting them at the hospital or spending time with them at spring training or, you know, here around the park?
No, I'm a guy that I believe in God, like, based on everything I do. And getting familiar with Jimmy Fund, you know, visiting kids, you know, hanging out with them, having a conversation with them. It's something that fame and money are nothing. I mean, you know how people get famous, how people make money, and they basically forget about things and not everything behind. This will connect your feet to the ground because that's real life. When you see kids getting sick, you put yourself in a situation because we all got kids. We all got family. We all have a family member that got a situation related to it. So once you face the situations face to face, there's no other choice but for you to learn, get familiar, and try to help any way you can.
Big Poppy David Ortiz with Gresh and Keith here during the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. Can we talk a little bit about this year's team, Poppy? Because people are betwixt and between. They get off to the great start. They're struggling a little bit. You're obviously following along wherever you're at in your travels. What do you see with this version of the Red Sox right now?
You know, the team is good. It was so many things going in the right direction that it's hard to believe where they're at right now, you know, what they are going through right now. But sometimes, believe it or not, that is needed, especially before walking into the playoff situation at Moffitt. And it's because it's good to experience those type of things before you walk into the playoff atmosphere. And it's because you learn from it. You learn the mistake that you make. You learn your weakness. You learn what you need to get stronger at. And once you walk into the playoff, which is something that's going to happen pretty soon, I guess you are concerned about those things and you take care of it better than if it never happens. So I know the guys are going to bounce back. I know they're going to put themselves in the situation that they were before. But it's a long season and everything was going extremely well. Like when everything is going so well like that, this is expected. I don't know if you know what I mean. You know what I'm saying? This is expected. But I'm pretty sure that Alex and the whole team, they're going to navigate through it. They're going to let things flow because the talent is there. The guys know how hard it is to play in that division, American League East. I was having a conversation the other day. That division is the toughest division in baseball, I would say. And you don't get away with anything in that division. In that division, you don't get away with anything. So keep it tight, people. Keep it tight. Keep your faith.
Now, how do you, as a player on the team,
guys gonna regroup soon.
Yeah, how do you keep confidence specifically in the closer? So, David, when you were here, you had a lot of great closers along the way. You know, some years better than others, but you think about, you know, Falk and Papelbon and Uehara. You guys had a lot of lights out guys. But when one of them was struggling, or it was somebody maybe not as established as that, and they were struggling, and they're going out there each night, and they're either blowing a save or they're giving up runs, how do you as a teammate feel when they're going into, you know, to protect a one or two run game, as we're watching Matt Barnes really struggle here in August?
You know, the Red Sox have done an unbelievable job educating Burn to be the closer. Because the guy has the stuff, the kid has the talent, and the kid come from the form, and it's the guy that you want towards the end of the game. Now, he's still in the learning process. He's still, you never start learning in baseball. Plus, the closer is a position that is very crucial. And what I mean, when it comes down to it, I play, like you say, with a lot of closers, a lot of good closers. Kimball, Papelbon, I can mention tons of them. And all of them have their moments. What I would say to Burn right now, I talked to Burn during the All-Star game. We had a moment to talk. And if there's one thing that I would say to him right now, is don't be so concerned about your pitches. Whatever you feel good about, go for it. Because as a hitter, I can tell when a pitcher wasn't comfortable making a pitch to me. It could be the fastball or his breaking ball or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Whenever I see that fear popping up, and then my confidence level navigate higher. And the result was there. He's a really good fastball. He have that nasty breaking ball. All he need to put behind is his confidence and be like, here comes. Because you got no other choice when you're a closer for doing right. that. Right. And I believe on this kid, and I know he had the stuff, and I know he's going to bounce back and whoop ass because that's what he's been doing. That's why he's the closer on the team.
So David Ortiz is with us here on Gresham Keefe. And, Poppy, we tweeted this to you at David Ortiz the way it went down. And I want you to know on WEEI, we try to have a lot of fun on this show. And one of our guys behind the scenes, his name is Chris Scheim. He is a largo, admittedly, kind of like me, and maybe even you a little bit, Poppy. You know what I mean? He's a big boy. There you go. So, Poppy, he was doing a read for Papagino's, and he said organically one of the funniest things.
Bertucci's.
It was
Bertucci. Okay.
Okay, so he was doing a read and organically said one of the funniest things ever when, you'll just hear it. Take a listen.
Order a Big Poppy pizza, and they will make a donation to the David Ortiz Children's Fund. You are welcome at Bertucci's.
Who's David Ortiz?
I said Ortiz.
David Ortiz. That's what he's saying.
Yeah. David Ortiz,
what do you
Poppy?
Think? There's got to be some sort of marketing deal in there somewhere.
Listen, I got no more room for any other nickname but Big Poppy, so be careful.
we knew you would appreciate David Ortiz, friend. And, hey, thanks for reloading with us and getting on the line today. Whenever you're around, you got an open invitation to come hang out with us and meet the actual David Ortiz. Thank you for the time, Poppy. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it, guys. See you guys soon.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
David Ortiz, baby.
It's a good point. He's got a nickname that there's no budget on that. There's no budget on that. But I'm telling you, there's a way. He's thinking about it right
now. Of course
he
is. You know,
the next time we got a deal here, we get the old David Ortiz.
There was
get that with a 2 liter and some breadsticks.
There was a chef in Rhode Island who was a part of one of those like frozen pizza brands, like a whatever right?
Yeah.
You can't tell me the David Ortiz 2-pack in your Stop and Shop for $8.99? We're talking about it
every single time.
He'd be all over it. Well, I'm glad we finally got to introduce Big Poppy to David Ortiz. We will wrap up Hour 2 from Fenway, the WEEI and S and Jimmy Fun Radio Telethon next.
Please help us strike out cancer.
Hi, my name is Maddie. Please help me and others fighting cancer as we raise money for the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber. Call 877-738-1234. Every dollar counts.
Back to Gresham Keefe. It's the 19th annual WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
877-738-1234. We are looking for you President's Circle members. A donation of $1,500 or more. Get in the President's Circle. We'd love to have 15 of them before we are out of here at 2 o'clock today. And joining us now is from Canton, 7-year-old Eileen McNierney. Her parents, Hillary, Sean, and 3-year-old Connor, who is already stealing the show here in the off-air show. Welcome to all of you. And Mom Hillary, let me start with you. Tell me a little bit about how Eileen's journey began.
Well, it was totally something that we didn't, it caught us off guard. And it was one weekend in January, and Sean had the kids hiking. And she was very fatigued. She just wasn't herself. And we had the stroller actually for Connor, and Aileen ended up in the stroller. And that was on a Saturday. And then Sunday, Sean was like, you know, explaining to me what happened. And, you know, we said, let's, you know, call the doctor. We're sort of not sure it's not her, right? She's usually very spunky and sassy and energetic and really happy with life, and just wasn't her. So took her to the pediatrician's office on Tuesday. First appointment we could, she got a blood draw. The pediatrician called, and within an hour of her blood draw, and called Sean and said, you have to bring her to Children's. And Sean called me. I was actually here, and went over to Children's, and It was, yeah, it was, I mean, I got the chills because just reliving that moment, knowing that, well, we didn't know, right? We knew her blood results came back not favorable, and we didn't know what was ahead of us. So it was, yeah, it was really scary.
So, Aileen, what's this all been like for you? How has it been with the doctors and the nurses and everything you've gone through?
At first, it was a little scary, but then once I got halfway through, it was getting, the nurses were very nice and friendly, and I was starting to have a little more experience every day, so I could get out of the room a little bit more, wasn't stuck inside. I could go on the rooftop.
Ooh.
It was really fun.
What do you do up on the rooftop?
So we could eat lunch on there, and I could play on the little hill.
And are you going into second grade?
Yes.
Are you excited for that?
Yes.
Do you like school?
Yeah.
Good. Sean, you work for a biosystems company, and I know that Hillary, you are tied into Fenway Park and the Red Sox. But given what you do, Sean, this is the truest version of really hitting home, is it not?
Actually, it's kind of weird because Aileen was tested. She was tested. Her results came off of instruments that my company makes. So it was really kind of
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Holy cow. How were you both able to process what was going on?
I mean,
just put our head down and move forward every
you
day.
You just go.
We didn't have another option. It was, this is what we were given, and, you know, how can we figure this out? And I don't want to say make the best of it, considering the circumstances, but... you know, we had to make the best of it. We had to be strong for her and be strong for each other. And it was obviously really challenging. I was actually expecting as well. And when it all started, we didn't have the effects of COVID. So it was January. And so then March approaches. And then, of course, we know what happened. You're hungry? Okay.
I love this kid.
This guy,
we connected right away. Connor was telling everyone how he's got a blister. I'm like, dude, I got a tooth that's bad.
Can we get some food?
Yeah, right. Can we get a hot dog over here for Connor?
Yep.
Well, we're hit here at the top of the hour, and the McNierney family, you guys are great, and congratulations. Good luck on second grade this year.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming by. We appreciate you guys. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for having us.
We got to go find a sausage stand outside or something like that for Connor out there who is hungry heading into the lunchtime hour. Again, your chance to donate is now. You can text KCANCER to 20222 to donate $25, or with a $1,500 donation or more, you can become a part of Dana Farber's President's Circle. Into Hour 3 next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.